to the Happy Me Project podcast, the space where self-development doesn't have to be fancy, and we take the bullshit out of positive mindset. My name is Holly Matthews, and I'm a former TV actress. I'm a self-development coach. I'm the founder of the Happy Me Project. And I also happen to be a widowed mom of two girls, Brooke, who is 10, and Texas, who is 8. They are awesome. I'm completely biased. And today on the show, we are talking about a topic that gets brought up always and one that I talk about and think about a lot, which is completely apt to the topic. Today we are talking about procrastination. So grab a cuppa, settle in, and let's get chatting. Years, I have become slightly obsessed with trying to organize my life, having become a single mom in 2017 after the death of my husband. I suddenly found that there was a lot more work to do. You know, I was already, you know, being a mom, being a parent is busy in any time. But then when suddenly you find yourself doing that alone, which, you know, many of you will have gone through, are going through, are in the midst of, always have been, whatever. When you are parenting alone, it is a challenge. When you add in the mix other things like running your own business, it becomes really challenging. And so I've been really finding ways over the last few years to really organize my time in the best way possible. And the biggest hampering of this, of my productivity, is procrastination, where we find ourselves in this sort of lull of knowing that we have to do some stuff, but doing everything other than that. I know that I'm not the only person that does that. This, that when we find we have probably a very important task to be getting on with, but instead of doing that important task, you find yourself organizing your wardrobe into color order because that becomes just a huge priority. It's essential that that happens immediately. Or like me the other day, when I suddenly decided that I instantly, in this moment, had to have storage boxes from B&M. And I got in the car and drove to get storage boxes. I mean, I had other stuff to be getting on with, but in my mind, that needed to happen now. Now, that is definitely a case of, one, impulsivity, that one. But also, it's procrastination, right? We put things off and we don't do things. And there's many, many reasons that we do this. It could be that you are feeling anxious about the thing that you have to do. Perhaps it's that you're completely overtired. And when we're overtired and we don't have the best resources, we don't want to get on with things. Perhaps it's perfectionism, where you don't want to start because it might not be good enough. You might think it's not going to be good enough. You're fearful. Fear is a huge motivating factor when it comes to procrastination, that we feel fearful about starting for whatever the reason, whether it's perfectionism, you know, the fear of failure, the fear that if we start, we won't get it right, or we might not finish everything, or so we just don't start. There are so many different reasons that we sit in this space of procrastination. So I thought that we would, you know, have a little chat about it and some ideas around things that I've been doing, you know, things that I've been doing that have been helping me. And I am naturally not a person that, I'm a very disorganized person by nature. And so I've had to be very, very careful with my time and to stop myself getting into a space of procrastination where I literally just sit there and know that I've got loads of stuff to do. My head will be full and busy, but I am not getting that stuff done. So these are things that I have found work for me. You can pick and choose whether you feel they will work for you, but they are certainly things that I would recommend to my clients and those that work with me. So let's delve in to tip number one. So tip number one is my favorite, and I talk about this a lot, but it is getting a pen and paper out and brain dumping what needs to be done on paper. You got to start with knowing what you want to happen in the first place. So dump it all out on paper, write it down, get everything out, what needs to go on. I did this morning, and I've got emails I need to make and people that I need to pay, this podcast being recorded. I knew that I had to prep for some of my clients this week. I've even factored in the fact that I need to eat. Remembering to eat becomes an issue for me. So writing everything down on a piece of paper doesn't have to be neat, doesn't have to be tidy. This should take you all of a few minutes, nothing more than that. Do not slip into perfectionist mode or creativity mode. This is not about you being creative. Just dump it out, like chuck it out there. Then you might want to get a highlighter and you are going to highlight the jobs that you are trying to avoid. Brian Tracy wrote a book called Eat That Frog. And I only know that because I wrote it down this morning. Usually I forget what that book is called and I mention it a lot, but I'm never remember. Is it Eat That Frog? Eat Your Frog? Eat Her Frog? Eaten? I know there is frogs that are to be eaten, but I Googled it this morning because I'm chatting about this subject on BBC Radio this afternoon. So it is Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy. And it's a great book actually. And essentially the premise is you've got to do the annoying jobs first. If you get them done, everything else will follow. So in doing that, you're going to just highlight all the frogs. What are the frogs? There probably won't be many. There'll be a couple of frogs that you've been putting off for ages. It might be like me calling utility companies or doing the meter readings. I've had to do that today. There's no reason why I put that off. There's literally no reason. It's a 2-second job, but I will avoid that job, like, because it's boring. It's boring in my head. I don't want to do it. It's boring. I want to do something fun. I'm going to do something else. So that's my avoidance type, like things that are dull and boring and don't spark a little interest or a little dopamine in my body. Don't, I put them off and there's absolutely no reason. And then it actually becomes a big issue because then it becomes that you start getting emails off the electricity company going, we haven't had a meter reading for 6 months, babe. What are you doing? We need to know what you're using, you know? So it is eat the frogs, get them out, write down, draw a frog next to them, highlight them, pick the ones that you don't want to do. Then you're going to take that list and you're going to create your to-do list. And this to-do list is going to be very specific because just a big long list of stuff that makes no sense to your actual day might mean that things don't get done and you're not being realistic about how long things actually take. So number two is to create this list. But this list must be time blocked. And time blocking is where we go, right, from 9 till 10, I shall be doing this. Now, what I found is that, and this might be because, I find estimating time very challenging. So not everybody will find this the case, but because I find estimating how long something takes a real challenge, I find it better to the first time I do a task to time how long it roughly takes me to do it. Otherwise, I will underestimate or overestimate how long something takes. And that makes it difficult to be realistic when I'm time blocking my day. So you might find if there are tasks that you know you do regularly, you've got to do the washing of the clothes. How long roughly does that take you? Okay, you might put your wash on a half an hour cycle or an hour cycle, I don't know, whatever. And then, you know, actually it takes me probably another 20 minutes to hang everything on the washing line or to put them in the dryer, whatever it is that you do. And you're going to get a realistic estimate of how long that takes. So this might be something that you do over the next week where you start to notice my normal time it takes me to do the dishwasher, 5 minutes to do the dishwasher. So I know that when I'm time blocking my day, I can be realistic about what that looks like. So you're going to go through your brain dump list and you're going to make this in some kind of order. You're going to factor in things like, when is lunch? When are you going to eat? You're going to factor in a little bit of wiggle room for when you didn't get your timings right, or when somebody phones you out of the blue, or, you know, when something happens that was unexpected. So you're going to factor that in, but you're going to create this to-do list and make sure that the frogs, the things that you don't want to do, are right at the top of that list. Number three on my list is to tell somebody else or share with somebody else what you have to do, okay? Especially if this is a job you've been procrastinating over for a while, or many jobs that you've just been avoiding, tell somebody else. You might have somebody in your house you can tell. You might have a friend that you can send over your to-do list to. I've been really interested in having recently discovered this and having accidentally used it in the past and found it very beneficial. Something, a term that is called body doubling. When I first heard it, I was like, body doubling? I was imagining, like, you know, like on a film set when you have somebody is your body double. I did that on casualty once. I must share the picture sometimes because it's really funny, because often when I was in casualty at BBC show, if for those outside of the UK, I was in a car crash in it, and I just had to do the bit where I slammed my face into the steering wheel, and they could do that shot, which I'm going to put out there was really disconcerting, because they've got an airbag. This is totally off topic, but we're going there. They've got an airbag that puffs up as it would. Puffs up, is that what the description is of the airbag? The airbag puffs up as it would do in real life. And I have to get the timing right. So as an actor, I've got to slam my face into the steering wheel. Obviously, just like a normal car crash, the airbag is not puffed up when I'm doing this. And I've got, obviously this can't be seen on screen, a guy sat to the left of me who is the puffer-upper of the airbag, and he's got to get the timing right. So we're counting 1, 2, slam your face on 3. 1, 2, slam your face on 3. So he's got to get that timing exactly right, that he puffs up that airbag, otherwise I'm slamming my face into a steering wheel. Thankfully we did get it right, but that's quite like, as for me as an actor, that was quite disconcerting. That was like, it was a weird space to be in where because you've got to do it full force, otherwise it's not going to look right on camera. Anyway, I was doing that bit, the very basic bit, and the actual car crash, which wasn't actually a very big car crash, but when you're the actual lead actor in something, insurance-wise, they just don't let you do anything. They let the people that are the stunt doubles, that's what they're called, aren't they, do that. And the stunt lady who was my stunt double on this particular episode had to wear a wig, which is sort of like my hair, because she didn't look like me. And she was a good, I don't know, 10, 15 years older than me as well. And it's just so funny, like when you look, I've got a picture of us side by side, we look nothing alike each other. I mean, it works on screen, but it's just interesting how that all works behind the scenes. It's like on Home Alone, when Kevin is trying to escape the burglars and he goes to his treehouse. If you actually watch that slowly, you can see his stunt double. It's like a grown man on there. Anyway, we've totally just gone off on track. Well, I have gone off on a different track. But body doubling, that's what it made me think. It made me think of stunt doubling. That's not what I mean. I mean, it would be lovely, let's be honest, if we could have a stunt double that would help us to not have to do all of these jobs. That would be excellent. That is not what this is. So body doubling is essentially you having somebody around you when you do the jobs. Now, they don't have to do anything. It's not like they're sat there like a cheerleader going, yeah, you can do this. They're just around, and their presence, for whatever reason, helps you to keep on track. Maybe it's a level of shame. I don't know. Maybe it's a level of just somebody being there that almost reminds you to stay on track. I don't know what the motivation, but it does. It works for me. This may not work for everybody. I always just share what I've learned myself and what I've been trying out with clients as well. But body doubling is a good technique. Now, this could be somebody they could be online. So, you know, right now we are still distanced depending where you are in the world. So it could be that you Zoom call somebody or you FaceTime somebody and you have them around while you're trying to get stuff done. They don't have to actually say anything. They can just, their presence is just there. And I find that very useful. So the other week I had to open a bank account, right? This is not a big deal, right? I'm a grown ass woman, 36 years old, right? This shouldn't be a big deal. It's not. I deal with bigger things in my life, but it's one of those kind of things where I just think, oh, how boring. I don't want to do that. I want to do everything but that. So I procrastinate and I put it off. Now, when I say I've put this off, this is bank accounts for my daughters. My father-in-law has been on at me saying, look, I want to give them their Christmas and their birthday monies. And I don't want to give it cash. I would like to just put it in their bank account. And I'm like, yes, that is a great idea. Of course you should do that. Brilliant. I will get that set up. Now, the procrastination, it's been a lot, guys. I mean, we're talking 3 years maybe of me going, yes, I will get that bank account sorted, and then proceeding to not do it because I haven't actually specifically said where I'm going to do it. It's just an unending task it's like a tab open in my brain forever, and it's been doing my head in. And then obviously pandemic has meant that there's the banks, you know, going into a bank has been a little bit more challenging, and that's just been an absolute you know, stopper for me actually getting it done. It's been an excuse, a reason, and I haven't done it. The last week, as we opened out, opened up in the UK, and everybody kind of went back out into the world, largely with restrictions and all that, I was like, okay, brilliant. I can walk into the bank today. I feel motivated to do this. I will get a bank account for my daughters. It's happening. It is happening, babe. This is my talk to myself in my head. And then I spoke to my friend, who often is my body double person. And I was like, yes, I'm going to go to the bank right now. And they were like, well, Holly, you can't do that. You can't just walk into a bank. And I'm like, what do you mean? Why not? And they said, because you have to book appointments because of COVID. Like, they don't just let people walk off the street now, which is infuriating to somebody like me who's just impulsive and wants to do things immediately. So because the person was on the phone to me, they were like, look, just book it now while I'm on the phone to you. Book the appointment, because that's back of the list already. If I put that phone down, I'm not doing it again. I don't want to do it. I'll wait till I can walk in. That's where my brain is going. I know when I say this out loud, it is illogical. I know this. I'm a grown human being who runs her own business and everything. Why does this become a big deal? So while the person was on the phone, my friend was on the phone, they just said, do it now while you're on the phone to me. No excuses then. So I booked the appointment. It was done. And then they said to me, remember to put it into your phone so you've got it in your phone. I'm like, yeah, of course. I should put an alarm in my phone. I should pop it in the diary immediately, not next week, not in a minute, because in a minute never comes, right? I did all that. Then I forgot about it, completely forgot, whatever. Moved on with my life, better things to do. However, this week, I see my alarm. It's in my diary. It goes on my whiteboards. I'm a whiteboard fiend. And the job gets done, and it happens because I was specific and because I had the use of a body double. I had somebody who was holding me accountable a little bit. Now, this is why having any kind of community support is really good. You know, having the Happy Me Project Facebook group is a really great space for accountability. You know, if you don't have those around you that you can have as your accountability buddies or people who can hold you accountable to things, please use that group. It's, you know, you're welcome to come in the group and hang out there and say, look, I need to be accountable to this stuff. And I guarantee there will be people in there that understand this as a technique. And if it's not me, it might be me. And they will support you through that. Also, the You Got This Academy, which is my 6-week coaching program, which I will be doing again. I've just finished it. I'll be doing it again at the end of the year. So I'll be opening up the doors for students then. Again, another really great space. I've seen loads of the students in there partnering up with each other and holding each other accountable. It's a really powerful tool. So once you've got your to-do list, once you've got that job that you don't really want to do, I want you to tell somebody else and I want you to make them hold you accountable. And they don't necessarily have to do anything, but just be aware of that's what you're trying to do. And the little bit of peer pressure there might just help you to get to that next stage of actually doing the job. Another good tip when it comes to writing your to-do list is to put actionable words, so doing words, verbs, at the beginning of the thing that you have to do. So I like to highlight that, or I like to make that underlined. I don't know why, that's just the way my brain works. I like to have that bold. Bold's a hard word in my accent, isn't it? Bold. I like to have that nice and bold at the beginning. So it might be write the email, call the electricity company, fix the chair, whatever it is, right? So it's an actionable thing. There's something that clicks in our minds when we make something a doing thing, a thing that we have to do. We can see it feels like a thing, right? Also making sure that you're ticking off as you go. And this will be my next tip. My next tip is to reward yourself as you go throughout the day. Make sure that you are getting a little reward for whatever you're doing, a pat on the back for going through your day and getting through these jobs. So perhaps you make it fun, you make it a bit of a game. You know, if I can get 3 jobs done in that time that I've allotted for myself, or even quicker, because sometimes that happens, right? Once you've got it in this list, I've actually gone quicker than I expected to today because it was so well put together that it was, once I got started, that's often the biggest hurdle, right? It was done and I cracked on through them. So you could set yourself a reward. If I do three things, I can watch a bit of Grey's Anatomy. If I get that really annoying job done, then I can get a takeaway for tea. I don't know what it is, right? You can think of your own reward. I know we're not supposed to reward ourselves with food because we're not dogs, but sometimes I will work for a biscuit. That's all I'm going to say. I will work harder if I know there's going to be, I don't know, a gold bar or a penguin biscuit at the end of it. Just saying, you know, if you now email me and try and get me to book me for a job for a pack of penguin biscuits, I'm probably going to say no, but I'm going to be very tempted just putting that out there. So find ways to reward yourself. Also, finding ways to make the jobs a game is fun as well. So putting some music on when you do something, dancing your way to the, you know, the washing basket. I don't know what it is. Finding, making, doing the dishwasher a race. This stuff is boring and mundane and we don't want to do it. So finding something that you can do while you're on the on hold for the electricity company, seeing if you can do 10 squats, I don't know, you know, just find something that's going to keep you motivated to keep going. Another tip, actually, when it comes to organizing your day is to look at how long you're sat down for. So if you are a person who works at a desk, then if you're going to be at the desk for any period of time, because that's what your job requires, factor in at a certain point, you can decide when that is, a physical job that you can do. So just breaking up the day a little bit. So you have some time sat down at the desk. The next thing that you do is you getting up and doing something physical like the washing or something else. Or you just take some time out to go for a walk, because when you're sat in one position for any length of time, you're going to get so bored. You're going to feel stagnated a little bit, and that's going to hamper your progress. So really do factor in break times as well. And lastly, before you begin any of this, it would be a good idea to pop on your power playlist. That is, your power playlist being the songs that get you G'd up and motivated. I have a playlist on Spotify, which you're absolutely more than welcome to go and follow, that I created for the You Got This Academy. So if you type in the You Got This Academy or Holly Matthews or something like that, I can't remember, but you type it into Spotify, you will find my playlist, and it's all power songs that will get you motivated. You might hate it. It might not be your cup of tea, and you, in which case, create your own power playlist. And you can also listen to on YouTube or on Spotify motivational talks. Now, these are often as cheesy as hell, right? But I love them. I lap them up. If I've got some, like, I don't know, Les Brown or even Tony Robbins, also, although Tony Robbins' voice doesn't necessarily do it for me. But like, if you've got somebody who's just like giving you this big motivational speech with some like deep and like empowering music on it, I'm all over that. You might love it, okay? But having something that just inspires you a little bit, whatever that is, maybe listening to this podcast, maybe listening to a podcast is something that gets you motivated. Put your arms in the air in a power pose. So like superheroes up in the air. Do that for 2 minutes or punch the air a little bit. I know this stuff makes you feel like you're a bit ridiculous, okay? But we're trying to get you to be motivated and pumped up for the day. And these things just work, okay? However silly that you might feel doing them. Have a dance, get yourself G'd up first, and then get to work. I know that life is challenging at times. I know that there are going to be some days when things are just a bit harder, okay? So be kind to yourself, because emotionally we're up and down, but sometimes we just got to get shit done, okay? And so using this formula that I've created for you today is going to help you to get there a lot quicker. I would love to hear what you've got done using this after listening to this. Tell me what you loved, what you found really useful. Tell me things that you think, no, that wasn't what I did, but I did this instead. I love to hear when you've adapted it to fit your lifestyle and your world. I want to hear your power playlist songs, so let me know those as well. And you can send me those across social media, wherever you found me, on YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, my Facebook group, my Facebook page, Twitter, wherever you've come from. I don't know where else I might be. I could be anywhere. Who knows? But let me know what what you found useful. I love to hear it. I love to hear what you've been achieving for yourself. Thank you once again for continuing to support this podcast and leaving your lovely comments and messages when you subscribe, whatever platform you're subscribed on. I really appreciate it. I'm enjoying doing this podcast. It's been really fun. And I am going to get to a stage where I do some interviews with some cool people that I have found along the way that will inspire you to be your best self as well. I hope you have an amazing day. I hope you have an amazing week. And I will speak to you all very, very soon. Peace. To learn more about the Happy Me Project, my online courses, events, and one-on-one coaching, click the links below and get involved. Make sure to share this podcast, follow, subscribe, and tell me all of your learnings. I will catch you on the next episode. Stay safe. Peace.